This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome back, one and all. I'm not talking to you in the audience. I'm talking to Brett. Welcome back.
Oh, it's Brett. So great to be here, John. Just to feel your aroma. It's so good. I went to Japan, which means I got new Japan pants.
Uniqlo, what are baby? Those on there? What is that design?
I got three of them. I don't know. I had Japants that I wore for many years. They had Mount Fuji on them, and I rub through the knees because I pray for power all the time. No, whatever, the knees broke, and so now I have new Japants. And I'll wear them when it's warmer. It's snowing in California right now, and it's raining in Los Angeles.
Things so were chaotic while you were gone.
They're kind of a capri situation. Very comfortable in the summer, lightweight, breathable. But right now, I gotta go with my weird hippie pants.
Okay, well, don't you worry. With the passage of time, we're going to get you in those capris. Anyway, Brett's been in Japan for a couple of weeks. Now, for everyone in the audience, Brett left America pretty weird. I think we can all admit it. After 2 weeks in Japan, what is going to be different about Brett's personality, worldview, cultural references? I can't wait to find out. He is speaking markedly less Japanese than I expected him to.
Oh, upon returning. John, son. No,
but you normally on a regular Friday would have dropped Sumimasen already. So you actually came back less vocally Japanese.
I spoke Japanese. The drunker I got, I spoke Japanese. I talked about baseball with people. It was awesome. And I'm not the only one who's been on kind of a trip. How's it been, John, on the half pipe in the 1990s at a skate park? How's your life there been, judging by the look you have?
Everybody
what's it
has
been like
being
the bookish skater boy?
Is that an archetype that I forgot from The Breakfast Club?
Yeah, you're like, if the Renaissance men also could do a fakey 180 ollie.
Well, I will say that, you know, it's a real turn for you to be mocking me because everyone else in the audience has been so welcoming
over
the past week. Anyway, okay, well, Brett,
Jesus,
it's good to have you. Oh my God, I waited until you left to shave.
Oh, I know.
I might
shave
it again.
People told me, so I checked.
We'll see. I might shave it again. It was a fun experience. Anyway, it's good to have you back. I know that you've been not checking in on American news that much, which we all need to take that time off. I'm gonna be gone next week, by the way, and I'm gonna not be paying much attention. I will say that when I stay with, so I'm going to stay with a longtime friend of mine, Quaylus Gordon. He, in the morning, this is, so, I'm gonna say this like it's a weird thing, and I do think it's a weird thing. Many of you will not think this is a weird thing. He will wake up and like go to make coffee, and he'll like put CNN on the television, which just seems to me to be such a weird thing to do. Am I crazy? You just put on CNN or MSNBC as you go about your morning. That seems mad to me. Like undiluted, not filtered, not curated. Just whatever comes out of CNN and MSNBC, you take it in. That seems weird. Anyway. Yeah. But I'm gonna be absorbing a little bit of that. So
I get why you think it's weird, but it's not weird.
I know
it's not abnormal. It's weird to you, but not to most of America. Like that happens in coffee shops all over America.
That's true. Yeah, lib coffee shops. But anyway, so I will be getting a little bit of that. So if Don Lemon says something crazy, I'm gonna know about it. Anyway, with that said, we have a lot to talk about. And, you know, forget all that, all the news and whatever. We have garbage people to throw away. Brett probably doesn't even remember how to throw away a garbage person. It's been so long. But we had a lot of fun with a couple of fill-ins, and now he's back to take out the trash. That said, along the way, we're going to be talking about possible Trump indictments. Again, it's like the Groundhog's Day of political news. Pretty interesting town hall for Glenn Youngkin. Some good hard questioning against him. Ted Cruz has got a new book that he totally wrote. We're going to be evaluating that. And I have found an excuse at long last to at least briefly discuss the WWE on the damage report. So we're going to be doing that in the aftermath. So everybody, in anticipation of that, please hit the like button, share the streams so people know we're live. And if you want to have a question or a comment read during our social breaks and maybe get a chance at a $100 Blue Apron gift card, then send in those comments, those tweets, those super chats, and we'll take a look at what you have to say. With that said, Brett, are you ready to do this thing?
Let's do it. It's just us hanging out.
We're just hanging out and talking about indictments like we do socially. Okay, let's do this thing. Ladies and gentlemen, they got him. Maybe in the near future, probably not, but maybe. Maybe Trump could be facing indictments. That is the strong signals that are being sent from the Manhattan District Attorney's Office. They've done a few things, including giving him an opportunity over the next week to come in and answer questions before a grand jury, generally seen as what you do before you launch these indictments against someone. Now, the pattern might be different for presidents since none of them have ever been indicted before. But that's how people are evaluating these recent moves. Now, you are probably wondering what I was wondering when I saw these headlines. Wait, which investigation again? I know, there's a lot. This is the hush money one. This is the Stormy Daniels one. Yes, they are still looking into that. And the Manhattan inquiry, which we're talking about here, spanned nearly 5 years, centers on a $130,000 payment to the former adult film star, Stormy Daniels, who says that she had an affair with Mr. Trump. The payment was made in the final days of the 2016 presidential campaign by Michael Cohen, who was later reimbursed by Mr. Trump from the White House. Prosecutors have, as I said, offered Trump the chance to testify next week before the grand jury that has been hearing evidence in this potential case. And they say that for District Attorney Alvin Bragg to do this generally means that they're going to be seeking charges against him. And yes, this would be historic. Charges like this would never have been launched. This particular case is unique in a few ways, which we're going to talk about. But Brett, initially when this came out, I know everyone's like, oh God, it's finally going to happen. And I think they're backing off a little bit, at least in terms of thinking that after the charges, he'll face serious consequences. But it still does look like the charges could come.
I demand $130,000 in compensation because this whole thing made me picture Donald Trump having sex. And that is emotional and spiritual trauma from which I will never recover. Mm-hmm. Let's listen. This is all fan fiction. This is all fantasy. This whole thing is pornography. This whole thing gives everybody what they want. This gives people who want Trump to be indicted to have that moment of hope where you think he'll be indicted and put in jail for up to 4 years, though it's not completely mandatory that he do that. He'll be a felon. He'll get what's coming to him. And you get to revel in that fantasy that will never play out. And
well, the indictment part might. The actual him being a felon that is locked up in an orange jumpsuit, almost certainly not.
Right, that's what I mean. But like that whole thing is part of a fantasy for this guy who is terrible and represents for a lot of us the opposite of what America should be about. But he also represents what America should be about for a lot of people that think that this is the way to be. And like for the communists, you get mad when the rich person uses their, corruptly uses their capital to get free and not pay any consequences that other people have to struggle through. But for the capitalist American, this is a different kind of porn. He is the lifestyles of the rich and famous. It is related to the idea of the peasants loving the monarch. You have at least someone who's living the good life, who gets to sleep with porn stars and pay hush money and get away with it and never suffer any consequences. It's that kind of fantasy. And for them, they're happy because he's gonna walk through the raindrops and dodge all the entrapment lasers as he, you know, makes his way toward freedom. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't often set up those lasers outside. I think your read of how this will eventually end up, I think, is probably accurate. The way that they're trying to catch him in this particular case, it's one of those novel legal theories or whatever. So the idea is they did the transfer of the payments. Almost nobody doubts that. And isn't it fun to just note yet again that no conservative seems to have any problem whatsoever with this? I mean, yeah. whether they admit that he had the affair or not, which he definitely did. The fact that he did the hush money payments in the immediate lead up to a presidential election, not a single one gives a single damn about that. And I have to assume that if Biden had done the same thing, they also wouldn't care. Anyway, but it's a thing where with the transfer of the money and the repayments, then that effectively was a benefit to his campaign. So this is sort of like unreported campaign funding, which means that this would rise from what you would normally expect in this particular case, which would be a misdemeanor, to if you allow it to be connected to that being sort of a contribution in kind, then it becomes a felony. We don't know if a jury is going to accept that, let alone unanimously accept that. So it does become a complicated thing. Briefly, Brett, what do you about to say?
What he did, in my opinion, is not something so horrible it would change my opinion of him if I liked it.
Sure.
You know, like Bill Cosby did stuff that is so horrible that even the guy that was a father figure to millions of people, they're like, whoa, yeah, can't go along with this. This is like through a complex legal theory, he slept with someone and just didn't want you to know about it. Like,
yeah,
he's horrible. Yeah, I mean, that's on brand for him.
Yeah, definitely on brand for him, I think. And I think it's the brand that they actually like, but many of them would imply they're very pious.
Yeah, so stupid.
Fair or anything. Come on.
Clear.
Anyway, we have to be fair here at the Damage Report. And so here's a bit of a response from Donald Trump to the announcement that these might be coming.
Our country has become the investigation capital of the world. Actually, that's all we do. And it's only good for our many enemies, our enemies that are laughing at us all over the world. They could not be happier as they brilliantly plot our demise and destruction. We have to get back to making America great again.
That was Trump responding to the possibility that indictments might be coming in the Stormy Daniels case. But honestly, it could have been a response to any bit of news that has come out in the past 6 years. Like that video, if you told me that video is from 2017, I would believe it. He never actually addresses the substance of the things he's alleged to have done. It's always a super zoomed out, like we have too many investigations. It doesn't help us. It only helps China, which will be news to the House GOP, which is starting many of its investigations this week into things like Hunter Biden and the pullout of Afghanistan and COVID and masking and Fauci and a billion other things. I say to them, these investigations only help our enemies. And so I guess I agree with Donald Trump. But anyway, he addressed the substance a bit more on Truth Social, bleeding, I did absolutely nothing wrong. I never had an affair with Stormy Daniels, nor would I have wanted to have an affair with Stormy Daniels, which is definitely how you respond to an allegation of infidelity. Man, I didn't do it. I wouldn't want to do it. Look at her. But he gets even more explicit. We'll jump ahead. He talks about witch hunt, blah, blah, blah. He is a former president of the United States who is alleged to have had an affair and then covered it up. And in his official response, or what passes for an official response for him, he once again calls her Stormy Horseface Daniels. I understand that you cannot go to jail for insulting someone online, but doesn't it kind of feel like he should? Like if you're being alleged to have committed a crime, and your response is to yet again insult the looks of the person doing the allegations when you were the president of the United States, you were a literal billionaire. It kind of feels like we should be able to have some sort of minimal expectations of you, but we don't, and he'll probably get away with it. Brett, what do you think?
Yeah, the calling her horse face, I chuckled when I saw that. It's like, all right, buddy, she is a famous adult star. People wanted to intercourse her. Like that's why she's famous. The idea that you didn't want to do it, shut up. just shut up. You're a liar. And then you like a child, call her a horse face. Like, you might as well run up to her and like throw dirt on her in the play yard, you child. Like, yeah, you like her. It's fine. It's okay to say that you like her. And the takeaway from this is, through all the bloviating, you got to look at what they're asking for in the end. And what Trump is asking for is not an end to corrupt investigations. He's asking for an end to investigations. Now,
does anything, look
at his conclusion, it's the same thing a criminal would want. A criminal doesn't want you to end corrupt investigations. They want you to end real investigations that might uncover something negative about them. And I think there's a lot of people on both the left and the right, and the current left, the former left, and everything, that should look at what Donald Trump said and call it out as absolute hogwash and fakeness and posturing, because he's throwing the whole angle of this like new right with the weirdos like Matt Taibbi going into it is to say, listen, all of these like censorious negative things to do, like these investigations and whatnot, are bad no matter who does them. That should be a takeaway. Even like, that's me giving them the benefit of the doubt. And they should be just as mad as Trump as they are at Twitter, as they are at Facebook, as they are at Google.
Anyway, look, we were talking in the pre-port about, oh my God, I didn't remember. Oh yeah, no, he's potentially facing some trouble for having published this book of letters from like prominent people. He apparently didn't get consent from them. It's like minimal thing he could have gotten his lawyers to like do, but he didn't. And look, obviously that's even less serious than this. For me, like doing this hush money, this was an attempt to affect the result of the election by skirting campaign finance laws. I think that is more serious than an affair. An affair is a personal thing. There's all sorts of implications of hypocrisy on his part and the part of his supporters. In terms of it being a crime or whatever, I don't care. The campaign finance stuff does bother me. But that said, none of this bothers me nearly as much as some of the other many things he's being investigated for. You know, that thus far, again, could potentially be leading to indictments, but haven't yet.
So what would get you mad at Trump if it is a campaign finance violation? It would get you mad at Trump if the money he took from you as a donor, as a small dollar donor who supports Trump's campaign, and you would get mad at it if you gave him that money so that he could make positive change in the world, but instead he used it as hush money to get out of a personal affair issue.
Yeah.
But that's not how people consider. The only conclusion I can draw is that when people give money to Trump, they're giving it to him not as a politician, not as a change maker, but as a content creator. They're just giving him money to live that lifestyle to entertain them. But at the end, I said earlier, what's the thing that he's asking for? The thing that he's asking for isn't gonna make your life better or safer. It's not gonna improve your life in any way. All it's gonna do, the things he's asking for in his actual political life, are deregulation, increased pollution, fewer worker protections. All he's doing is unmaking things that make your life better. And that's just a weird, bad situation. And I honestly don't know how to get to those people and say, yo, you might be entertained, but at the same time, you're wildly distracted.
Yeah, they're distracted and threatened, and being distracted by fake threats. In any event, I want to turn now to this will sort of get into a little bit of what Brett was saying. I definitely think that there is a thing, we've seen it over years or whatever, of like willful overexuberance at the prospect of justice, which I get. If you're going to be overexuberant about something, the prospect of justice, there are worse things to be exuberant about. And we have seen that. I do think, though, when it comes to this, again, I'm not randomly waking up and throwing on CNN or whatever, but I was able to come across a few instances where there was a little bit of cautioning to not get ahead of ourselves when it comes to this. So let's launch directly into Adam Kinzinger.
It's not the enchilada I think everybody is thinking. Obviously, the biggest thing I'm interested in is what happens on the January 6th situation and stuff like that. But this, obviously, there's a lot of details I still don't necessarily know about this case. But as all your guests have been saying, it's going to be difficult to prove, difficult to prosecute. So I think people need to look at this kind of in that spectrum and realize, look, we're still waiting to hear from Georgia and some of the other stuff federally as well.
So that is Adam Kinzinger, who, of course, Donald Trump despises utterly. And so you would expect he's a big, you know, opponent of Donald Trump. He's going to be super excited about this Stormy Daniels case, you know, bearing some sort of consequence fruit. But he seems to be more focused on, I think, cases that potentially have, you know, more behind them, that are more serious in a variety of ways. Maggie Haberman, who has been at times critical of Donald Trump, also wants to caution people against too high of expectations when it comes to this. Take a look.
So we're entering uncharted territory here. Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to note about this case. As Kara said, this is a misdemeanor that they're trying to push up to a felony.
Which is a really kind of exotic
case. And a judge could decide, no, we're going to knock it back to a misdemeanor. That is difficult for a prosecutor when it's a former president. I understand, justice is supposed to be equal, for all. But, people take into consideration factors like this. I think we could see a rallying effect from his supporters. It could be that more people are turned off by this. I just don't think we know. We know how he will use it, which is that he will say he's being attacked and victimized. And we have seen that over and over again. We're going to continue to.
So yeah, a little bit of caution. I mean, there. If you want to be excited about the prospects, there are reasons to believe, like, you know, Michael Cohen suffered consequences for this. Doesn't it seem a little bit weird that he suffered consequences, but not the guy? He wasn't in the affair. He wasn't in the. So anyway, it seems weird that he would, but not Trump. So, but that said, I don't always agree with Maggie Haberman, but she is right that the way that they're trying to elevate this is potentially a little bit harder to convince literally everyone in a jury of, and a little bit easier for the Trump team to attack. But Brett, what do you think?
I mean, yeah, this is it just made me want enchiladas, honestly. I agree with Maggie Haberman. I agree with Adam Kinzinger. I don't think this is going to pay off. I totally understand the framing of it, but you know, at this point, it's just a lot of what I see with the investigations of Trump into the weaponization committee on Donald of the Republicans in the House of Representatives. Is just like, it's like this weird Cold War. It's just everybody putting a bunch of money into preventative and like weapons stockpiling. It's just they're investigating each other. I can't get past the fact that this is a strange legal theory that might put him away. And it's not a strange legal theory that I can wrap my mind around, like getting Elliot Ness a racketeer, getting Al Capone a racketeer for tax evasion. This is like a politician for campaign finance reform in the furtherance of another crime. Potentially, it's just, I think we get into that territory where it's like the people involved in the investigation are themselves chasing clout a little bit on all sides. I think in the meantime, we should focus on the negative effects Donald Trump had on American politics and the fabric of democracy. And this is just a little bit of a distraction. If we know it's a distraction, we watch it as such, that's more healthy. But if you're like self-deluding, you're into becoming like into this being like a giant thing, you will be frustrated if it doesn't pan out. I think that's unhealthy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and especially if it takes your eye off the prize of he's almost certainly still going to run for president. He's almost certainly, I think, going to win the primary. We need to prepare for that battle and hopefully can meet him in the eventual general election with the best candidate possible, not necessarily just the guy who's already there.
Yeah,
so there's a lot of work that needs to go on.
And if the last thing I'll say is, in the grand scheme of things, there's fatigue around Donald Trump that people kind of maybe have forgotten in the meantime while he's gone away. And as we get closer to an election, as we go through the primaries and potentially into the general election, stuff like this will contribute to reminding people that Trump is just too much to handle.
That's true. It's
just annoying. And he's got five investigations instead of one. And they're like in actual courts and they're for felonies, not misdemeanors. Even if they're misdemeanors, you need a lot of them. So
yeah,
that's the takeaway from me.
I agree. Look at Brett not losing his edge 2 weeks abroad. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna take our short break. When we come back, Glenn, what?
We'll talk about it during the break, how much I drank.
Oh my God. Okay, well, we're going to be talking about that during the break. We come back, Glenn Youngkin facing some tough questioning at a town hall on CNN. We'll be back after this. Okay, everybody. If you're just joining us now, please hit the like button if you haven't already. Oh, by the way, the idea that many of you are watching our live show and are not subscribed to our YouTube channel seems difficult to imagine. But that said, we are on the very tipping point precipice of hitting 800,000 subscribers. It's probably gonna happen in the next couple of days. But if you wanna go subscribe right now, maybe it happens live on air before I leave. Wouldn't that be a nice way to send me away? So youtube.com/thedamagereport for that. That said, more news. Let's jump into this.
Governor Youngkin, your transgender model policies require that students play on the sports teams and use the restrooms that correspond with their sex assigned at birth. Look at me. I am a transgender man. Do you really think that the girls in my high school would feel comfortable sharing a restroom with me?
That is an awesome question for Glenn Youngkin. And Glenn Youngkin, he's one of the Republicans that will pass a bunch of barbaric legislation, but wants the image of being a little bit more reasonable, still possessing some of the compassion that Republicans would frequently pretend that they have back in the day. So he might actually engage with it rather than just being insulted by someone like Ron DeSantis or somebody like that. So here is his response to that amazing question.
I believe first, when parents are engaged with their children, then you can make good decisions together. And I met your dad, and I'm glad that you're both here together. That's really, really important. I also think that there are lots of students involved in this decision. And what's most important is that we try very hard to accommodate students. That's why I have said many, many times, we just need extra bathrooms in schools. We need gender neutral bathrooms. And so people can use a bathroom that they in fact are comfortable with. I think sports are very clear, and I don't think it's controversial. I don't think that biological boys should be playing sports with biological girls. There's been decades of efforts in order to gain opportunities for women in sports, and it's just not fair. And I think that's non-controversial and something that I think is pretty well understood. Again, I think these are very difficult discussions, and I am very, very glad to see you and your dad here together.
Very, very glad, and please don't ask me any more questions because I'm getting a little bit tired from dodging this much. He talked about the topic. I'll give him that. He kept saying words. So he did do that. He did not directly answer the very pointed, awesome, and very direct question. He said other stuff. And he didn't even keep his response to stuff about bathrooms or whatever. He eventually just went to sports. You were asked a specific question. Do you think that girls would be comfortable with that? I mean, after all, your whole thing, the reason that people like Glenn Youngkin and all these Republicans are making all of these changes is to protect innocence and make sure the girls don't feel bad and blah, 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 all this stuff. Well, now here's a direct question. Let's put you to the test. Is that actually your priority? And he moves to other stuff. He did it again, like I said earlier, in a way that seems more compassionate than like a Ron DeSantis or a Trump. I mean, God only knows what they would have said had they been asked those questions. But he didn't actually address the actual question. And he definitely seemed inconvenienced by it. It's a weird thing when you see a Republican being forced to think about for even a second that trans men exist. Because they don't often do that. For a group that talks about transgender people 8 to 10 hours a day on average for any one of their pundits, they pretty much just focus on transgender females. So anyway, Brett, what do you think?
He's talking about high school sports, but he sounded like a geometry teacher with all those obtuse angles. That's most of the discourse on transgender bathrooms, athletics, existence is the dumbest, fakest interactions you will see in the entire world. It is so stupid. Like, no one actually wants to have a real conversation about it. They just want to have a politically expedient conversation of it. The fact, like, all of these disagreements from Republicans seem to have something to do with whether you're going to have sex that you don't want to have in a bathroom. Most people don't want to have sex in a bathroom. There's poop there. It's not a sexy place. Also, separating genders in the bathroom does not guarantee people won't have sex in those bathrooms because gay people exist. So what are we talking about? The idea of more bathrooms, I'm actually fine with that. Go have bathrooms. Like, I just don't want people to feel uncomfortable in the bathroom. Meanwhile, we've been forcing people to shower together for millennia. No one actually gives a crap about making everybody comfortable in a bathroom, in a high school locker room. It's all fake. It's all stupid. They don't want to prioritize, and the reasonable people should be prioritizing just doing stuff that makes sense. But that's not what Glenn Youngkin wants to do. That's one of the more reasonable discourses I've seen on the transgender issue from crazy town right wingers who include Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles, who are basically like, trans people don't exist. At least Youngkin's saying like they do exist. But it is insane to me that this discourse on a daily basis comes back to people who talk about the sanctity of women's sports. Yeah. Right wingers on freaking Barstool who always talk crap about women's sports and how it shouldn't exist in the first place because people don't care about it. They themselves argue they don't care about it. But when it comes to whether protecting the sanctity of like this fifth grade swim meet, they're like, I need to see your junk. Who cares? Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, the challenge would be cover one story about high school women's sports that does not involve you attacking a person who's trans. Like, just cover one thing. You don't care about it. You don't care about it. And with the bathroom thing, again, as we're not doing a full-on fact check again, we've done it a million times. The arguments this is necessary because people are being attacked in the bathroom is just not true. It's just not actually happening. And to the extent that people are getting attacked in bathrooms, it's trans people. It's not cis people. But it's pointless to try to get them to accept that. They just will not accept that. It doesn't happen. It's not a crisis that needs to be fixed with legislation in states across the country in the same way that trans people winning all high school sports is not a thing that actually happens. There are, I don't even know how many tens of thousands, millions of high school athletes there are. And they can name like one trans athlete in one sport, in one school, in one state. Well, then obviously the law needs to change everywhere in the country. But the issue that we have is it's all well and good to point out that Ron DeSantis knows that this isn't actually the problem that he's saying that it is, or Glenn Youngkin doesn't. Most people, when you ask them to evaluate how much of a thing there is, it is maddening how bad they are at it. I just saw a poll from YouGov. Maybe when I come back, we'll do it because this applies to all groups, but I'm going to focus on the response for the trans community. When you ask them what percentage of Americans are trans, do you know what they say? They say 20%. It's 1%. They are off by 20 times. So the idea that like, oh my God, the bathrooms are all being invaded and the teams are, well, yeah, if you believe that one out of five people are trans, then you might be able to convince yourself that this is at least theoretically a thing that could be a problem. But that's the sort of lie that's being propagated, that like these are huge communities making big changes. They're the ones coming at us. We have to do something about it. And it's all fake.
Like
super fast forward
movement. And why does the footing have to be one of conflict? This should just be something like, let's figure it out. But but it's something of conflict. And obviously, like, if anyone's been to like a high school sport event, the parents are the worst. They want to pull the kids off the court and play themselves and punch out every other parent. So there's a reason that this has been locked onto, and it's just political expedience. It doesn't affect y'all's life in any way. Whatsoever. Just calm down, take a breath, let's figure it out.
Yeah. We're gonna make that mind your own business hat one of these days. Okay, really fast, let's jump into, before we do, we're gonna do a full thing on this, but it doesn't matter what group you talk about. If these are like minority groups or small groups in society, wild overestimations of how many there are. They're asked, what percentage of Americans are Muslim? They say 27%. It's 1%.
It's a phenomenon.
27 times. What percentage are Jewish? 30%, they say. It's 2%. What percentage live in California? 32%. You think a third of the country lives in California? Are you mad? Yes, they are mad. They think 33% of the country are declared atheists. They think 29% of the country is Asian. They think 41% of the country is black. When you add up black, Asian, throw in one more group, do they think there are no white people in America? No, people are just terrible at estimating threats, and they always overestimate. There are evolutionary reasons why we overestimate threats, because the people who overestimate threats are more likely to survive than those that underestimate it. But it's just crazy how bad we are at math.
Can you give us a specific example of what is an inherently divisive concept that you think should not be taught in Virginia schools?
Yeah, so the inherently divisive concepts are taken directly from the Civil Rights Act. And they're teaching children that they're inherently biased or racist because of their race or their sex or their religion. They teach that a child is guilty for sins of the past because of their race or their religion or their sex. They teach that a child is oppressed or a victim because of their race, their religion, or their sex.
What do you say to a teacher who wants to teach any one of any number of scholars who say that the condition of black Americans today can be traced all the way back to Fort Monroe in 1619? That it's not as if every generation is just brought forth new. That there were hundreds of years of slavery, 100 years of Jim Crow, and today is part of that.
Yeah, well, I first of all, we must step back and teach all of that. And then we have to recognize where we are today.
But you just said we shouldn't teach that because admitting the history is inherently biased. Well, to be fair, what he said we shouldn't teach is stuff that is not taught. The idea that you're all victims. By the way, he and every Republican constantly tells them that they are in fact victims of all sorts of stuff. Third grade bisexual art teachers and everything. But the idea that the class is just, it's just they take the white students and then they circle them with their desks and they shout cracker at them over and over is not actually being taught in schools in America. That's not really how classes go. Again, wouldn't it be novel in America to have a debate about reality, about what's actually happening? I don't think we'd be prepared as a people. Brett, what do you think?
Glenn Youngkin's argument is that white people are a victim based on the color of their skin. That's his argument. And that the people who are not white are the people victimizing the white people. At the same time, he's saying that whole dynamic is wrong to do. He's saying what he's doing in that argument is the wrong side of the argument to take. He is the pot calling the kettle a white supremacist. Like, it is so stupid. I mean, you said it all. The first thing he says isn't happening. The thing he says is happening in every classroom. That is a fictionalization of what's going on. And his solution that he put forward, his solution is the thing that happens in classrooms. So the people he's saying are the baddies are the ones who already solved it. Then you have to ask yourself, why is he mad at the solution? It's because the solution that he puts forward at the end makes people aware of structural racism, of the history of oppression. So his solution is to be woke. The original definition of woke.
It does seem a bit woke. It seems
that's
a bit
just
woke.
The definition of the original definition of being woke is being aware of systematic racism and oppression.
That's it. Doesn't mean that you as a third grader are responsible for it. It does mean you should be aware of it. Anyway,
Meanwhile, that said, super fast
because we gotta
move on.
But
like these same people who are like, don't do that, they're like mock slave auctions in schools. And in like the white schools that are the way that he wants them to be, he's not yelling at that. He's not upset about that. Yeah. It's just annoying.
Yeah. Okay. That said, we got to update you on a little bit of a potential legal issue for George Santos. Let's jump into this whenever we're ready.
Who is George Anthony DeVolder? He is a family friend of Mr. Trelhaz.
Okay, so how do you know this man?
We're family friends. Our parents know each other. We've known each other for a few years. Lost touch. Got back into touch back in September last year. In Orlando, when I was relocated from New York for work into the Orlando area.
And so, what do you do for work?
I'm a retired politician. I work for Goldman Sachs.
You work for Goldman Sachs in New York?
Yep.
No, he doesn't. We don't play that video just to remind you that even in like official declarations, he was lying about his jobs. That's part of the evidence of what seemed like investigation that just happened in the past, but in theory could come back involving now Representative George Santos. And the crux of it is this 2017 credit card skimming operation in Seattle, which he is now being alleged by an individual to have been a part of. He really did get around. I mean, how he found time balancing that with his championship volleyball career, I don't know. But anyway, a man who was convicted of the fraud that we're talking about here, deported to Brazil for it, said in a sworn declaration that it was George Santos that actually orchestrated the entire thing. This is Gustavo Ribeiro Trelhaz, who says, "I'm coming forward today to declare that the person in charge of the crime of credit card fraud when I was arrested was George Santos, Anthony DeValder, or both. Santos taught me how to skim card information, how to clone cards. He gave me all the materials and taught me how to put skimming devices and cameras on ATM machines." I'm not gonna do it. Just say ATM. Sorry. Anyway, this isn't the first time that George Santos's name has come up in this case. He was previously questioned about it. And bear in mind that this sworn declaration is coming from a person who was convicted of credit card fraud. So if you want to not necessarily trust 100% everything that they say about this, I would understand why you might be, you might have that stance. Brett, what do you think?
It's like LCD displays, John.
I know. It just bothers me.
It's just yet another thing that makes me realize that I love George Santos because he really embodies the American ideal of fake it till you get incarcerated. But if you can get to a point where you are high enough profile in the American storytelling machine, then you can just not go to jail. You cannot suffer the consequences of it. I think it's at a certain point, it reminds me of an old Eddie Izzard bit where he's like, if you kill 10 people, you're a monster. But if you kill 100,000 people, you're like, oh, well, he must get up very early in the morning. That's it. I saw some tweets. I forget who did it. I think it might be Ellery Smith or someone who's like, after the credit card scheme, now I like the guy again. But unfortunately, he was like skimming individual people's credit card information. But
100%. Which we
I don't know. Yeah.
Look, we have other information. I'm not going to go through it. If you want the full rundown of the previous investigation, the testimony that he'd given, it is available. We'll see. A lot of this stuff could potentially be returned to. I don't know in terms of statute of limitations on this. It wasn't that long ago. I just mostly wanted to talk about this to remind you. I put up a video on the Damage Report TikTok about this just to like point out that, and I could be wrong, it's March 10th. George Santos won. His strategy won. He didn't leave. The fact that he was looking like he was being humiliated and he looked like a buffoon turns out isn't fatal. You just don't go, and eventually people move on. Most of the media will move on. And he's still drawing a salary and he's still getting his benefits and he still has an office and on and on and on it goes. He gets to vote on things. We all know that he's one of the biggest liars in American politics ever. And it turns out that that is irrelevant. So that's a fun realization. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna take our last break of the hour. We come back, see responding to the investigation of wokeness in government. Can't wait to see what she has to say after this. Okay, everybody. Oh my God, this hour is passing by fast. That said, we're probably just gonna do the D block here. Why don't we jump into it whenever we're ready?
We're having a hearing right now, and it's about that the federal government is too woke. I mean, that's seriously what we're hearing. And then there's no definition of what woke is.
Nor will there be. She's right. As one of many investigations currently being led by Republicans in the House, they are concerned about wokeness in the federal workforce. What does that mean? Why does it matter? What will come of this? I don't know, and nothing. But anyway, it is happening. And so it's good to at least have people like Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez there to make a mockery of this investigation. By the way, she's not the only one attacking this. I just saw a video of Donald Trump earlier today saying that these constant investigations are helping our enemies. We'll see if the Republicans respond to that. In any event, here's a little bit more of that investigation.
On paper, what's actually being criticized in this hearing is that the so-called woke policies are remote work for federal workers, especially those that live in rural areas, and those who have disabilities, paying interns so that critical opportunities don't just go to privileged kids whose parents can afford to pay for their rent while they go on a free internship. That is what is woke here. That is what the other side is calling woke here. Making sure that OPM can create opportunities and federal careers for partners of military service members. That's woke. This is the woke alleged takeover that we have.
Yeah. And look how easily, when you just actually define the specifics, how ridiculous it becomes. Like, it's easy for them to say there shouldn't be remote work because remote work is Fauci or something. But when you actually try to get rid of that, to mandate that it can't exist or whatever, that is going to hurt certain types of people potentially. And she points out people who are disabled, people who live in rural areas that are far away. Like, that is actually who's being affected. Many of them probably conservatives, and they don't care. And what I find funny about that, Brett, is when she pointed out the thing about the internships, like, obviously, you know, the word woke now has been expanded to mean literally anything you want. But like, at a middle point along the evolution of that word, just understanding that having unpaid internships will have social and class and race consequences, I think is actually a demonstration of the idea of being woke, is understanding that there are consequences to that. When you don't pay these internships, that makes them more available to certain types of people, and that has knock-on consequences as well. The idea that you would want to reinforce those inequities is, I think, ridiculous. I'm glad that you pointed out. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that all the policies that so the Republicans show up and they say that woke is evil. They don't define woke in any functional way that allows anyone to make any progress in society. And so you have to look at the thing that they're actually asking for, and all those things just benefit the bosses, not the workers. That's it. Like, remote work is awesome. It is great. When they say it is just for the business owners, that the Republican Party exists, because the business owners are always like, I don't think my employees are working hard enough, and I need to look at them, I need to hover over them and monitor their every move. No, that the takeaway from that is that's not a woke policy to do the thing that makes the most sense for everybody involved. They just don't want workers to have a better life. That's it. It's all fake. And I am sick and tired of the Republican Party calling my white race weak. We are strong. We can handle it. We can handle a fair shot against people. We don't need that extra advantage. And I'm tired of the Republicans calling all white people lazy folks that can't accept a challenge, that need to be coddled, that need to be told bedtime stories because they don't want us to be woke. Go back to sleep. No, we can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
We're white.
I'm very uncomfortable with the angle. I understand the rhetorical device you're using. And by the way, it's getting a great reception. Your wife put a message in Twitch that says, yeah, with
so
points.
Stupid.
A little bit worried about
that's one thing I realized when I was on vacation, is just how dumb everything is. So I'm just going to come for it.
Everything
as dumb as it is.
It is very, very dumb. Oh, I really wanted to play this last AOC comment, but anyway, we don't have time. The point that she wants to make is there are actually things happening that need to be looked into. Trains are derailing every single day, and they're not derailing because of like woke metal. That's not actually a solution to the real problems facing Americans. And there is an opportunity cost to what Congress focuses on. And I think that there's kind of like an intentional opportunity cost here. It's not too hard to see through. Okay, with that said, we're gonna take not a break. I guess it's the end of the show. If you're on the regular, the linear platforms, the podcast, thank you so much. There is more show to come though. Never forget that. Go to the YouTube channel if you're not watching that version of the show. But when the aftermath comes, we will be throwing away our garbage people of the week and talking about a bunch of other fun stuff. So don't go anywhere. Brett and I will be right back. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.